This podcast is brought to you by Soapbox. Start your own podcast today at www.soapbox.host.
Season 1, Episode 11. Tonight, we take a ride down the Hudson River once again to Putnam County. We'll trek through the northeastern woodlands and discover bizarre stone structures shrouded in mystery, whose construction and purpose has long been lost to time. Who, when, and why? We'll discuss theories ranging from boring colonial-era wine cellars, to portals to different dimensions, to real-life hobbit holes, to pre-Columbian transoceanic contact theories about St. Brendan the Navigator. It's getting a thumbs down from Nick, I'm surprised. We might hear some UFO and child people stories along the way. It's Wednesday at 9 p.m. Welcome back, boys.
It's a lot of stuff to unpack.
It is a lot of stuff to unpack. This story was recommended to me by Sarah, actually.
Kind of like tomorrow.
Who's listening in right now, it looks like.
But Nick, which is more to unpack? This episode? Or...
I can't believe you just said that, Aaron. That's what I was like. For context, Sarah and I just moved into a new apartment, and we have had no furniture or anything for six, seven days now. So hopefully that'll get settled soon. So this episode is definitely thrown together a little bit. So I have poured countless hours, and I hope my employer doesn't listen to this episode. Of course they won't. I didn't do a lot of work today. I did a lot of typing into Notion today, I'll say. But it's a wild ride. Yeah, it was a lot of hard work. Kind of went crazy. But in terms of announcements, we're officially at episode 11. Even though at the time of this recording, episode 10 has not even been out. It's very late, but we'll get that out. And I wanted to give a shout out to Sarah because she found this story for me and did a little bit of initial research before handing it off to me. So thank you. Any shout outs from you guys?
The usual shout out to Fallon and the shout out from Nick
wonderful,
to Troy.
Wonderful, wonderful. Okay, without further ado, I want to quickly get through this so we can get into some nice discussion. I'm going to drop a picture into... Actually, I'm going to drop the link to my whole page of notes. And I want to start this off with a question. What were ancient people capable of constructing? So to this day...
Pyramids.
Say pyramids? Well, to this day, we have debates about that, right? People still question the building of and the purpose of Egyptian and Mayan pyramids, the Moai of Easter Island, Stonehenge, just to name a few different places. And so as you listen today, I want you to think, what things that are common to us in our day and age, in the 21st century, what things are going to be debated over centuries in the future? You know, like are archaeologists in the year 3000 going to look back at like toilets and be like, yes, ceremonial, ritualistic worship sites, you know, like what are they going to think? You never know. Toilet.
You think that people won't need to use the bathroom?
No way. I'm calling it now. Write it down. No way.
All right. Listeners at home, please remind us in 1,000 years
to check
back.
It didn't even hear me. That's AI for you, folks. That's going to be running the world in 1,000 years. But okay. So yeah, keep that in mind. And whoever's at the root of today's mystery, I find so interesting that whoever they were just normal people at the time. They weren't thinking about the confusion they were going to cause hundreds and thousands or decades later. So we're going to return to the Hudson Valley of New York State, and we're going to discuss the mysterious stone chambers. So Aaron will be pleased to know that there are many different perspectives here. I'm going to start with a description of these chambers. And then get into the theories from least crazy to most crazy.
Oh, perfect.
Yes. Perfect. So I had no idea, but as it turns out, scattered across many different states in the Northeast, and even some outside of the strict definition of the Northeast, there are hundreds upon hundreds of forgotten stone structures throughout the woods. In fact, it's been estimated that there's at least 500,000 miles of stone walls. I know, that's crazy.
In the Hudson Valley?
in the Hudson Valley, most dominantly, and in New England, Connecticut, Massachusetts, even some as far as like Iowa, just the entire New England region.
Half a million?
Half a million miles of stone walls. I know it sounds crazy, right? Nick's giving me a look like, what? I swear to you. I have all the links for this. Look at my sources.
I don't know that that makes sense. Isn't the U.S. only like... the U.S. can't possibly be that wide even. So you're telling me that there's a half a million
maybe
miles?
No, it has to be... Maybe it's feet? I don't know, we'll confirm that
the
later.
The circumference of the Earth isn't even...
okay.
50,000 miles.
Let me check my source on that then. Wait, I think it's probably feet.
That I'd be a little bit more inclined to believe.
It was Constantinos, he told you.
Yeah, that. Wait.
500,000 miles?
Okay, wait a minute. No, I'm not crazy.
No, you are crazy.
It doesn't... They're not lined up in the circumference. It's just walls.
Still.
That's to the moon and back.
There's no way. The horizontal width of the United States
miles
is
old
2,000 miles.
Walls.
The vertical length, 1,500 miles.
Dude, I'm telling you. I will give you my source.
I mean, I guess, but...
Here you go. I love how Sarah's laughing like, look, here are sources. I'm sending you sources.
Put them in the show notes.
We'll put them in the show notes. New England is crisscrossed with thousands of miles of stone walls. That's enough to circle the globe 4 times. Ha. Anyway.
It's still not 500,000.
People estimate that there's at least 100,000, and those estimates have doubled over the years because those estimates were done like the 1930s, and they found at least double the amount of structures. Okay. This is going to be fun to cut down in post.
Oh,
okay,
no. This
we'll
is all staying
in. We'll
cut
down the pauses where I'm doubting, where you guys are making me doubt myself. No,
you made a bold claim. We needed to check.
And it's true.
That's a bolder claim than I ever made.
Hundreds of thousands
of
stone walls in New England.
2 light years in length.
Okay. I will say that the area of the United States is 4 million square miles. So you mean to tell me that 10% of the United States is stone walls that have been forgotten?
That's not how that works.
That's absolutely how that works.
Why is it so hard to believe? Think about how many, first of all, think about how many structures there are in North America.
Like the fence outside?
Yes, imagine how many fences there are. How long do you think an average fence is? They're not.
Depends on what you're using it for.
I'm not talking about one stone wall that circles the globe 10 times. I'm talking about structures that have multiple walls in small areas.
I don't know.
Okay. We're moving on.
In the woods.
This is the least confusing part of my story, guys. This is the foundation. These exist.
Ooh, this is probably the most confusing part because the rest will make total sense. Portals and shadow people sounds good to me.
It gets so confusing. It gets very confusing. Okay, given that we all agree that there are trillions of miles of stone walls entirely within the Hudson Valley, New York, southern New York, right? That's the source of our mystery for tonight. Who built them? Why were they built? And all the weird stuff that happens around them. Now, one of the most interesting distinctive structures that are found are termed stone chambers. And these are one-room chambers. And they're built without any mortar or any stone-cutting tools, it seems. So there's no marks of tools, usually. But there's expertly fit stone masonry. And they're often capped with megalithic, as in ginormous, stone slabs. Right? And they're usually built into the sides of hills. Or are partially underground. So literally think of a hobbit hole. Like, look, kind of looking like a hobbit hole.
Just not as nice.
Definitely not as nice. And you could see,
probably not as
usually
round.
The tops are capped a bit, which does factor into the story here.
From your picture, I'm just thinking of like Jesus's tomb.
Well, the Mormons do believe Jesus did come to America. So,
oh my, Was Jesus buried actually?
That's in theory number North 6B. Jesus's burial site.
Hudson Valley.
In the Hudson Valley, New York. So these range in size from 10 to 33 feet long, generally with a width of about 10 feet wide, and the height of a person. Some of these you have to stoop down into, some of them you don't have to stoop into. But they're small, they're large, and interestingly, all of these sites either face directly east or west, or lined up very particularly. The insides of the walls are curved to the top, which is a very difficult thing to pull off, especially without mortar or any sort of thing. It's a difficult engineering feat. And around these stone chambers, there are often other stone constructions. Cairns, which are just pillars of stone. Standing stones, which are just stones. Walls, balanced rocks, all that stuff, right? Now, the weird thing is, whatever, stones in the woods, ooh, a big whoop. But the design and form of these walls is not found anywhere else in North America. Anywhere else in North America. And there are basically no written records about who built them, when, why, at all. There are a few written records about maybe people talking about someone who talked about who someone talked about, someone talked about who built them, but there's no written records of them. So, like I said, these are all over New England, but we're going to focus on the most amount of stone chambers in one area, which is in New York's Putnam County, which is a county right above Westchester. So pretty far down south, right?
And right below Dutchess.
There you go.
For you geography buffs out there.
And we're talking about the east of the Hudson River, which is a very rock-strewn area called the Hudson Highlands. And it's a very shallow layer of earth, and underneath that is a very thick granite bedrock. So you can literally just go through the woods in Putnam County, and you will find hundreds of these stone chambers out and about, often in different levels of disarray, in ruin. Some are totally destroyed. Some are still built up. And oftentimes, they're totally just plowed down when new land is developed. And they put buildings up. They put roads, and they just destroy them. They get...
Well, that's why there are so many haunted things in the Hudson Valley.
There you go. All right? They have no respect. No respect, whatever.
Case closed.
So we're going to get into the first theory, which is kind of like, now there's some scientists in the chat here. So let me know if I'm using this term right. The null hypothesis. The null hypothesis. I'm getting a thumbs up and a nod at the same time. Okay.
You were actually getting a thumbs down.
Well, the null hypothesis.
I don't want science here.
Is that these are just boring old colonial era root cellars. So this is the standard opinion, or was for the longest time, and it's still taught. And it's what the locals in the area generally believe and whatever. And this is the idea that, well, they were just built by colonists to be cellars for like produce and wine and cheese and milk and all that, right? Because they're built partially underground, they can stay cool during the summer and they could stay warm if you cover them up during the winter, right? So the claim is that they were just used to keep apples, root vegetables, later on, ciders and wines, whatever. And supposedly there's some oral history from Putnam County in New England that confirms this. But really, when you look into it, that's just people saying, my grandpa told me back in the Depression times, they used these chambers, whatever. But it doesn't confirm anything about when they were actually built, right?
So can I ask you a question, Frank?
Of course.
Before we dive too much deeper. So you're telling me that it is preposterous that these things could be a wine cellar.
Preposterous.
But because that there is a lack of firsthand accounts, but you mean to tell me that there's more concrete evidence of every other theory that you are about to present today?
Yes, and in fact, I'm going to propose a new theory that no one else has proposed before at the end, which relates into my last episode. If you just,
oh my God, it's novel research.
Yeah, novel research. There's no support whatsoever. I'm just entirely coming up with it myself. But yes, now you could say, well, there's no evidence that the colonists built this because colonists didn't write. They didn't write in the journal. I just built an outhouse today. I just built a stone chamber today for my wine, right? So that's a fair point, right? You're not going to necessarily write about every single thing you make and build, whatever. But these stone chambers are in extremely rocky areas, totally devoid of any sort of, you know, farming land, in the middle of nowhere. They're extremely densely populated in particular areas and not in other areas where there were more farmers at the time, a variety of different reasons like that, right? But that's like the base theory that we kind of have to prove wrong here, because that's stupid and boring. So theory two, Native American sacred sites.
All right.
Now, while there's no written evidence of them being built, there is a letter from 1645 written by a certain John Pynchon of Springfield, Massachusetts, to a certain John Winthrop Jr. of Connecticut. And in part of that letter, he says, "Honored sir, understanding you are now at New Haven, and supposing there will be an opportunity from Hartford for conveyance thither, I make bold to scribble a few lines to you." And he goes on to say other stuff. And then, "Sir, I hear a report of a stone wall and strong chamber within it, made all of stone, which is newly discovered at or near Piquet, now known as the Gungwam Range. I should be glad to know the truth of it from yourself, here being many strange reports about it." So that letter was from Connecticut, and it really implies that Europeans found a stone chamber that was in Connecticut, at what's now known as the Gungwam site, and there's a bunch of them there. So that kind of implies that they were around before any European colonists, right? Or at least a few of them were. So potentially colonists came upon these in the woods and just used them for wine cellars and for storing of harvests and all that, but they didn't build them themselves. And the Native Americans in the area at the time were the Wappingers. They would have owned that or controlled that land. And upon closer inspection, we started to learn about all the weird properties of these stone chambers. I mentioned that they were facing east and west. As it turns out, they're aligned with different astronomical phenomena. All the stone chambers are aligned with the spring, or the equinoxes and solstices. So only on those days in particular, when the sun rises, the light, the rays of the sun line up perfectly through the center of the openings of the chambers and light the back in a perfect a perfect angle. Meaning they were designed to be facing the equinoxes and the solstices, right?
Question.
Yes.
Were all these chambers, they're just empty?
That's a great question. Yeah. So they're pretty much all entirely empty. Some have been found with like small stone benches. When I say benches, I don't mean like wooden legs benches, like literally just stone slab benches. But generally, they're entirely empty. There's really never, if ever, any tools found nearby or inside. No signs of how they were built or how the huge, huge, huge stone slabs were brought and dragged over and built, put together without mortar. So generally they are empty. Though nowadays, if you go, you'll probably find candles and stuff because the local pagans, the Wiccans, and the people who think they're witches and warlocks, for reasons we'll go to in a minute, think that they're very special sites and try to perform rituals there.
You know, we're all Catholics here. Could don a certain type of attire with a big red cross on it and helmets and start the crusade once again.
Well, let's clear out these stone chambers of any spirits as the firing blow.
I'm in agreement with Nick. I think we should transition this podcast to like a vlog, and we just vlog us going all down the Hudson Valley, destroying any signs,
chasing down paganism. The local Wiccans with their crystals, holding the cross versus their crystals.
Exactly.
The power of Christ compels you.
That'd be great.
There was I recently watched, this is going to go off a little bit on a tangent.
I recently watched
an episode of Scooby-Doo, specifically Be Cool Scooby-Doo, which our friend Ryan really hates.
Really?
It's not that
Why
bad.
Does he hate it?
Yeah. He doesn't like the animation. Anyway, They went to Salem, and the whole town was like starting witch trials again. So I was like,
maybe we could do that here. Yeah, maybe we should do that.
We don't need witch trials.
True. Burn we'll them. See if they float, right?
That's it.
Throw them in the
No. Nope.
Isn't that?
If they can bench more than me, they're good.
There you go. I'll do some like strength spell. Nah, it never works. But yeah, right. So these are the sort of reasons why witches and or modern day witches start to be drawn to these stone chambers. Because if you look a little closer, there's some weird stuff. They're aligned with the equinoxes. Some of them are aligned with particular constellations. So you can see them perfectly through openings, right? So obviously you're gonna make the argument. I don't think colonists were building their stone chambers to store their wine and root vegetables and apples. And then being like, but on the equinox, the sun will come up perfectly here and light up this perfect circle. That
It will make the wine taste fantastic.
Now, you might be poking holes in that. Hold your thoughts if you are, because we're going to go back and try to pick these apart. And I want to figure out what theories you guys most believe in. I'll tell you which ones I most believe in. But yeah, you could say like that sort of construction doesn't happen unintentionally. And this theory was suppressed for a while because it was considered that Native Americans were too stupid to build large stone structures without tools, without mortar. They were too uncivilized. They didn't have the knowledge. But over the past few decades and, you know, even century or so, we realized that that's a pretty bad take. And it's not true at all. Native Americans were totally capable of building structures this complicated. And they were very in tune with astronomical phenomena and signs. And they took it very seriously. And many of the different cultures took it very seriously. So that's not a super crazy idea. Perhaps they are Native American burial grounds. Maybe they are sites for rituals. Maybe they were erected to help tell the time, the seasons. You would know when the equinoxes and the solstices are. Because they were constructed at that angle. Nick's shaking his head. You think that's stupid?
I feel like if they were, that's why I asked if it was empty there. I feel like there'd be some kind of like sundial or some like like old school, like equipment like that.
Well, I mean, think about if these were built by Native Americans, and you're thinking of like time period. Well, Native Americans have been there for a very long time, thousands of years. So the colonial theory is like, oh, they were built a couple hundred years ago, right? But if Native Americans built them, it doesn't have to even be like modern Native Americans or modern as in like, you know, colonial era Native Americans. It could be so ancient that even Native Americans at the time of the colonists and the European arrivals had forgotten who built them, right? And who constructed them. And at that point, it's difficult for some evidence to be left behind. At some sites, I will say they have found evidence of some Native American, potentially presumed Native American remains, which doesn't imply that they are burial grounds and imply, you know, and some of these people have died there or maybe been buried there. But again, that doesn't imply who built them, right? Because you could have something that was built 10,000 years ago, you come across it and you use it, but it doesn't mean that you built it. And it doesn't explain what it was built for.
How old were these remains?
Those remains were discovered, unfortunately, in the late 1800s. And so they just had to assume that they were Native American, but they had no means of testing them at the time. Gotcha. That was in Massachusetts, I believe, that those were found. But in general, there are usually no signs of tools. The things that are around these stone chambers, though, do imply that like they aren't just wine cellars or built for wine cellars, because there often are other things that look like ritual stone pillars or like altars sometimes or standing stones. Evidently there are lots of areas around these stone chambers where you'll just have like perfectly balanced huge ginormous rocks on a handful of small rocks, and the scientific consensus is like glaciers did this. It's definitely glaciers deposited these rocks perfectly balanced. And then people will be like, no, it wasn't a glacier. It was ancient aliens. No, some Native Americans or something like that. But, you know.
It was the Wendigos.
It was the Wendigos. Supposedly, Pukwudgies are said to love these stone chambers. And there are a lot of stories of Native Americans coming across Pukwudgies, the little creatures, kind of like goblin-esque creatures. Not just little people. They're kind of more like devious than that around these stone chambers. Yeah, like almost like Little Imps. It's one of their, it's some of their favorite stomping grounds. But again, there are hundreds alone in Putnam County. Like, you can just go on hikes and come across them. In fact, I'll link in the show notes. If you just Google Stone Chambers, Putnam, Putnam County, you'll find dozens of videos of people just going on hikes, recording them. It's actually kind of cool, kind of eerie. And they'll go inside and, you know, it'll be loud birds outside. And the moment they step into these chambers, it goes completely silent and, you know, dark. And it's pretty cool. But they're just in the middle of the woods. Unfortunately, some are vandalized and graffitied and destroyed.
Ancient Native American.
Yeah, so it's, there's a lot of interest.
Graffitied them?
Oh, that graffitied them, you're saying? Yep. Oh, actually?
Yep.
Hold that thought, because we're going to go to theory three.
There's no way.
Now, what if it wasn't colonists? It wasn't Native Americans. It wasn't colonists because why would they care? It wasn't the Americans because they're uncivilized. They can't drag stones. They can't build this. So who could it be? Well, what if I told you that some people over the years have noticed similarities between the stone chambers of Putnam Valley and that of chambers in Ireland, Portugal, and Brittany? So supposedly, even more so, there have been some inscriptions found on some of these stone chambers that's similar to those found in Ireland and the Iberian Peninsula, as in modern-day Spain and Portugal. So hear me out. What if the Carthaginians of ancient Roman time...
Oh, your favorite.
My favorite, the greatest enemies of Rome, who eventually lost. They were a maritime nation in the Mediterranean. They were always at war with Rome. They would have needed vast amounts of timber for their navy. And Rome controlled most of the forested area of Europe at the time and the Mediterranean. What if the Carthaginians sailed and found North America, the woodlands in the Northeast, and found it was very rich in iron, in wood? Let's say they constructed these, I don't know what for, I don't know, just for little dwellings or something, I don't know. But let's say it's the Carthaginians. Or maybe it was the Vikings much later on who traveled there. Now we have evidence of Viking settlements in Newfoundland. Leif Erikson.
I'm sorry, what did you just
Okay, Newfoundland, whatever it is. Newfoundland, whatever it's pronounced as. Newfoundland.
Newfoundland. Okay. Like the dog.
Well, Leif Erikson Day from SpongeBob, right? Exactly. Exactly. So these sorts of crazier ideas come from armchair archaeologists in Putnam County who really love the area and are just like old retired people that like do this research for fun. But there's one particular guy I want to focus on who really hammered into these theories. And he is the genius scientist, Dr. Philip Imbrogno. Now, he claims to be an MIT theoretical chemist, PhD, physicist, master's degree in like physics or whatever. He claimed he was like a Green Beret in like the Navy or something, all that crazy stuff. And he's been researching this for years. And he claimed that the alignments of the stone chambers with the solstices and the equinoxes and the Celtic inscriptions suggest that ancient Celtic druids traveled to the Hudson Valley and set up these shrines. Now, he also points at evidence that, this is interesting, if you take a compass and other, Aaron, you might know this, you might not. What are some devices that you would take to detect like magnetic fields in the wild? Yeah, like in outside.
Well,
is a magnetometer a thing?
Like the ancient people? I mean, I think so. I don't know. We didn't do a lot of E&M.
What's E&M?
That's more like physics, electromagnetics.
That makes sense.
We didn't okay. do a ton of that.
Well, I think electromagnetor.
I mean, a compass is a good one because it follows the magnetic field of the Earth.
Yes. So if you bring compasses to these stone chambers, in many of them, compasses will go crazy. And there's very odd magnetic field anomalies right at the bases of many of these stone chambers, like the door frames, right? So the implication there, of course, is they were built purposefully on these locations that have magnetic anomalies. Or maybe somehow they're causing them, but I think that's a little crazier, right? But the idea is that ancient Celtic druids picked up on these anomalous sites and built these chambers to point them out to serve as markers, basically, right? Now, there are some unfortunate things about that theory, but before I kind of talk about that, I want to say that in the early 1990s, according to Martin Breck, who was the Hudson Valley coordinator of the New England Antiquities Research Association in 2001, when this was written, he claimed that on a student trip to one of the chambers in Putnam Valley, a student found an artifact. It was an obsidian knife, and it was sent in for testing, and it was claimed that it came from Greenland and was determined to be of a shape and design of ancient druid use. So I was like, whoa, look at that. But then, of course, the knife disappeared after testing.
How convenient.
You hear that a lot, right? Nick, can you think of like where do you hear that? Like what kind of other phenomena? I think of one main one.
Where you have evidence and then it goes missing?
Yeah.
I mean, anything with aliens.
Anything with aliens, Bigfoot stuff. There's always like, we had a cast or we had a tuft of hair. We sent it for testing and they came back and they said, unknown, but then they refused to send the test sample back. Ooh, everyone's like, really?
Yeah. Even in my first episode, the guy that like took pictures and then he developed them and then there was just nothing in the picture.
And then he still put it in his book, right? Or
no, this was first episode.
That was the first episode. Oh, gotcha. The cemetery.
Cemetery.
What do you make of that? People, I don't. Why would you even post it if there's nothing in it? That's weird. So yeah, when you hear stuff like that, like, and then it disappeared, so obviously you can't prove it, you can't confirm it. What are you supposed to make of that? That's very, like, very frustrating. But to really nail down on this ancient Celt theory, supposedly this Dr. Imbrogno was able to, like, transcribe the inscriptions on one of the chambers, and he claimed that it was a writing that was a prayer or dedication to the Celtic god Bel on the festival of Beltane, which was celebrated on May 1st traditionally. Now, most historians... Oh, Nick's giving the timeout. Yeah?
So this guy is a PhD in physics or chemistry or whatever.
Please. He is a PhD in theoretical chemistry.
My mistake.
From MIT. Every picture of him, he has an MIT shirt on. So you know it's true.
Oh, okay. But he can also read ancient Gaelic?
It was... Yes. Yes.
Uh-huh.
They also have a question about this professor's credibility.
Before you say it, he is a very prolific UFO researcher, if that helps his credentials. Okay.
Not especially, because you didn't mention, and I don't know if this is your research or his, but compasses are very much impacted by iron. And you said that Putnam County is very rich in iron. Now, I would think, you know, me being a measly master's student, this highly educated Philip guy, he would know.
Well,
that.
You're proving him right, Aaron.
Yeah, he didn't write about it.
You're proving him right. You're saying that the stone chambers are built on top of the strong iron deposits.
Could be. But what is it? What does that say about his credibility that he didn't even think about
that? Oh, that he didn't think about the iron.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think his implication is that that's why the iron, that's why the magnetic interference is there. But it's weird that the stone chambers are built exactly on top of those hot spots, whereas you can't just walk around and be like, I feel it here. Oh, I feel it here. You know what I mean? But that's a good point. I mean, yes, it's like not the craziest thing that the place that has iron ore has weird magnetic disturbances. That's a very good point. But it gets even weirder. This guy claims...
Weirder than iron?
This guy claims all these things, right? He claims he's reading this, whatever. And going further in this, I saw Nick click something in the Notion that says... You saw that title there. So... Most mainstream historians and archaeologists say this is the stupidest theory and there's no evidence for this. But they don't realize there are other triangular stones in Massachusetts at a place called Mystery Hill, which is called like America's Stonehenge. And there are other people. There's been a real professor from Harvard, Barry Fell.
Why did you say like what? That? Natural real professor.
Hold that thought. And he claims to be a translator of ancient inscriptions, and he supposedly found a stone tablet in one of these chambers in Massachusetts. And his conclusions were that one of the inscriptions was Libyan, and it was difficult to make out what it said, but it looked like it was one of them was Libyan, one of them was Iberian Punic. Or Phoenician, so like Carthaginians, the Phoenicians who have written it. And he claimed that the structures there were inscribed with things saying that they were dedicated to Baal on behalf of the Canaanites. And he popularized this idea in his book, America BC, Ancient Settlers in the New World, that ancient mariners crossed the Atlantic Ocean to trade, explore, settle over here. And he claims to have translated inscriptions found all over the East, showing that the Iberian Celts, right, so the Celtic people who started off in the Iberian Peninsula, settled in New England 3,000 years ago. And he goes into this whole, I'm just going to call it a fan fiction, that they started their whole like kingdom in New England 3,000 years ago called, I don't know if it's Largalon or Yargalon, I don't know if it's an I or an L. And he claims that settlements continued up until like the early days of like the Roman Empire. So it lasted about 1,000 years. Yeah. And he claims that like Phoenician and Egyptian traders made regular visits to the American coast and intermarried with native people to become the Wabanaki of northern New England. And he claims he's found inscriptions showing this, right? So he and this other guy, Philip Imbrogno, have claimed to read these inscriptions on all these different stone chambers in the area, and they're able to put together this whole story. They've published books, they've published research papers on this, gone on and on and on. Unfortunately, though, when other people look at these, other experts in linguistics and language, they look like just like scratches. They just look like scratches on the wall.
to be fair, my handwriting probably wouldn't have been
your 3D sketches, definitely.
Yeah, if I tried to sketch Baal and the Canaanites, it would
be a mess. Good point. But so, other experts have said no, that's just like literally someone looking at scribbles, like scratches on like a piece of stone. And like writing like paragraphs upon paragraphs. like someone walked in and accidentally had their keys sticking out and scraped a stone chamber like 2017 and they went, you know, they read it, whatever. Or like there might be just markings from glaciers, right? And to make matters worse, I was convinced on this theory because I thought it was so cool until I found a very heated letter from... the Highlands Historic Preservation Society, which is in Putnam County, and they're a nonprofit dedicated to preserving the area. The area's hidden historic resources, mainly focusing on the stone chambers. And this is a cool thing. There are a lot of nonprofits, a lot of groups in Putnam County and the other areas that these stone chambers are in that are trying to get the government to protect the land and protect these stone chambers, regardless of how they were made, who made them, just to preserve them as for, you know, their historical significance. Because most of the locals tend to not care. Like, you'll find these in your backyard and you'll just like put your trash in it. Like, literally just use it to store your lawnmower or your trash or something, right? Or they're knocked down for land development. So I found out from this article, you know, let me just read this. This letter article they posted is titled George Baum's Vandalism Policies Rebuked by New York's Environmental Protection Agency Chiefs. And this was late October 2014. And forget George Baum, it's local politics and stuff. But the second paragraph says this. In 2010, vandal and fraudster, Dr., in parentheses, Philip Imbrogno, and his protege, René Fleury, threatened registered archaeological sites located on properties owned by the New York State Department of Environmental Conservation and the New York City Department of Environmental Protection in the town of Kent, Putnam County, New York. Imbrogno had previously planted foreign objects in the King's Chamber in Putnam Valley, the largest stone chamber in the area, in his attempt to support his theories on its origin. Imbrogno had claimed to hold a doctoral degree in theoretical physics from the Massachusetts Institute of Technology and undergraduate degrees in astrophysics from the University of Texas. He also claimed to have served as a Special Forces Green Beret officer in Vietnam and an act of stolen valor. All of these claims were false, as verified by MIT, the University of Texas, and the U.S. military. Fleury, who also fabricated her educational credentials in addition to painting graffiti on the Mount Ninham Fire Tower, also told a large crowd in Brewster that it was fine for anyone to, quote, dig around on these archaeological sites. It goes on to talk about how Philip Imbrogno tried to get a bunch of people together to, like, start digging up on private property and on, like, city property, these stone chambers and stuff. And the implication here is that he is the one who planted the knife of the story I mentioned earlier that a student found. He planted it there because he led tours to different places. He led tours for years to these stone chambers. Basically, I was like, what the heck's going on here? I looked into this, and this guy is a complete, utter liar. He is a super prolific UFO researcher who completely made up all of his credentials whatsoever. It was a huge kerfuffle in like 2011, I think, or 2012 when this broke. He like went into hiding. He denied stuff. He disappeared for a while. And ever since then, he just came back and has been publishing books still, but just quietly. This guy did not go to MIT. He is some random dude from, like, I want to say Connecticut. In every picture he ever has, he's wearing an MIT shirt. In fact, on my, I'll have it in the show notes and in my Notion notes. If you scroll, you'll see a picture of him.
I saw it earlier. Standing, I was wondering when this would pop up.
With his MIT shirt on, standing on a stone slab while on a... From a New York Times article that references him, because he is referenced by New York Times. He's been on the Sci-Fi Channel. He's been on the History Channel. He's quoted all the time. He's made appearances on podcasts, and no one had ever fact checked him for many, many, many years, for decades, I think, until all of a sudden
he's exposed. He's an older looking guy too.
He's at least, if he's still alive, he is in his, I believe, 80s. So yes, he is an older man. He was most famous for publishing a book about the Hudson Valley UFO sightings with Dr. Hynek, who was a super well-known UFO researcher name back in the day. And we'll talk about that in a second. So
an actual doctor.
An actual guy, yeah. That puts a wrench in his theories. He isn't the only one who claims that this ancient Celtic theory could be true. But unfortunately, the other professor I mentioned, Barry Fell, the archaeologist, no one in his field respects him or agrees with him. He's kind of an outcast. So he's not taken very seriously. So you can't really trust what he says either. However, there's still many people who are very convinced that there's a very strong Celtic and Druidic connection to these stone chambers. That's why they're super popular with modern day pagans and neo-pagans and Wicca. I don't know the right terminology here, but those sorts of people. Many people have claimed to see shadow people when they visit these stone chambers. When they enter the stone chambers, some of them they claim to feel very, very rejuvenated. Some of them they claim to feel very, very drained. And to this day, people will meet there all the time and leave stuff and litter stuff and do all sorts of weird rituals inside these chambers. So that's well, that's
at least that's not like sacrifices. That's good.
Yes. But now we get a little crazier. A brief theory, which is very cool idea. There is a suggestion that there was once a saint, Saint Brendan, the navigator of Ireland, who was obsessed with traveling to try to find the, basically like the new Garden of Eden. He was convinced that there was somewhere on earth that was a place free of disease, free of death, that was left for the good people to find. And the legend has it, somewhere between like 500 to 700 AD, that he set sail to the ocean with 17 monks in search of Terra Repromissionis Sanctorum, which is translated in Latin as the promised land of the saints. What's interesting when I looked into this, if you look into the story, and this could be an episode all on its own, like the legend of Saint Brendan Navigator, he like comes across different lands and weird people and like all mystical things happen. There's all a bunch of, you know, references to the number 3 for the Trinity and 7 and 12, all that stuff. It's definitely allegorical. But this theory has been promoted in Ireland and the US over the last few decades and centuries as kind of like a pro-Irish thing, that the Irish discovered America first. They were the first ones. It wasn't Columbus. It wasn't any other Europeans much later on in the 14, 1500s.
Not the Vikings.
It was not the Vikings. No, no. It was the Irish. It was a saint. And supposedly, St. Brendan the Navigator is the patron saint of like the U.S. Navy or something. I don't know if that's still the case, but for a time. And of end of the scared, because he was very brave. So if you're scared, pray to St. Brendan the Navigator. Now, there were papers presented different places at Harvard by like, you know, pro Irish researchers, but there's not too much evidence for this. Though some say that they found petroglyphs, rock carvings, that is, consistent in the style of like Roman British symbols from like the 6th through the 8th centuries. Supposedly those include the symbols that represent the name of Jesus. So the Cairo, which is the capital P, with the X through its lower stem, if you think of like that symbol, which is the first two letters of the word Christ, I think, in Greek. Supposedly another rock carving shows a Byzantine Greek symbol chiseled into the stone in some of these stone chambers in the area. Now, of course, you can say those are just scribbles, or maybe those were added later on. But one interesting thing to note, and that theory on, is that it sounds crazy that people could make a transatlantic crossing back then, right? In the first millennia AD. But in 1976, the British explorer Timothy Severin successfully sailed a leather boat, which was the sort of boat that would have been used at the time, from Ireland to Canada to prove that such technology could withstand a transatlantic crossing. And he survived. So in theory, it is very possible that little leather boats, they were made of wood and then covered in leather, could get you across the Atlantic to North America.
So you just need to get from Canada to the Hudson Valley on foot.
If you get to Canada, you can get to the Hudson Valley, right? Get to the Hudson River, go down. Definitely, definitely. But it is possible. Okay. So there's that. And now into the like the most crazy idea, UFO bases and portals.
This is the meat and potatoes of Frank's research. Yes, definitely.
Now, you guys might not know this, but Putnam County and the surrounding regions, Westchester County to its south especially, historically have been UFO hotspots. Now, unfortunately, none of us were alive when it really blew up. But the 1980s saw a huge wave or flap, as the as they call it in the UFO world, of strange sightings of UFOs over the skies of southern New York. And the most notable event, and now this is not something that's kind of like fringe history, straight up New York Times article from 1983 talking about how during that summer, the most notable event, at least 7,200 witnesses saw and reported, called in police reports frantically, they reported seeing a football field sized boomerang shaped object lit up with lights. Think of like a city street with like all the different small lights surrounding it, floating through the sky.
Freedom units. I love it. I love when people describe things as other
It's a very American thing, right?
That's helpful.
Football field size, like that's like an American unit through and through. In my Hexenmeister's Hug story, that was also used as a unit. It's like about one football field's length away from the bridge.
Yeah, like
I remember mentioning that.
You can't just say like 100 yards.
What is 100 yards? People, Americans know a football field's length, you know? But imagine that. Can you just imagine a football field sized object in the sky? Like gliding silently, and 7,000 people. And that sounds insane, right? Like, but no. And in 1983, over the summer, people claimed to see that. The government said it was obviously test flights from the Air Force, whatever. But that didn't line up with anyone's, you know, experience of the sightings, right? You had objects in the sky right above the area of these stone chambers being super concentrated at in Putnam County. UFOs that would just hover in place silently with lights that would flash red, green, white, different patterns. Now, I don't know about you guys, but planes can't hover stationary in single place. Helicopters can slightly, but they're very loud. And these things were cited as being like sometimes just house length above, right? Like skimming over trees, like touching the tops of trees. Not super, super, super crazy up like an airplane, like that close, lit up, ringed with lights. So you could see the shape of these things because of the flashing circular lights that are changing colors.
Frank, you know what's interesting?
What's interesting?
So this happened in the 80s, this whole big flap. You know what else happened in the 80s in the Hudson Valley? In Columbia County and Greene County, the Kinderhook creature.
The Kinderhook creature. You're right, and Nick. And a lot of this research,
what always shows up in UFO flaps?
Bigfoot does indeed show up with UFO flaps. Now, it's a theory of mine I'm interjecting right now. Maybe these stone chambers are like stomping grounds of Bigfoot. Maybe that's where he sleeps at night. Different big feet, if you will. They just throw together. Now, wait a minute. This makes total sense. Hold up. He's huge. He's strong. There are multiple of them because they're sometimes multiple sided. They'd easily be able to build these huge stone, you know, throw these slabs around, put them on the roof.
I think you just solved it.
You know what? Let's just end the episode here, honestly. I think it's just Bigfoot.
All right. Thanks, guys. This was a great episode.
It's Wednesday. See you next Wednesday. But so it's very interesting, the UFO connection here. And as it turns out, I didn't realize this. People still see and report UFO stuff all the time in the Hudson Valley, especially the southern area, right above where I live. In fact, this whole UFO flap in the 1980s, everyone would see these UFOs on the Taconic Parkway. that's iconic. I used to take that road every single time I'd go upstate and downstate from school. I would take that road.
Don't know why you did that.
It was the worst one. It's very windy. It gets, you know, it's very scenic. There's very few places to stop. If you have to pee, you're screwed. That's why I take the thruway now on the other side of the Hudson. But honestly, after hearing this, I'm like, wait, maybe I should take the Taconic so I can like get abducted and wake up in the stone chamber with like Bigfoot, you know, caressing me.
How close does the Taconic, how close is it to the Hudson? Yeah.
I think it's pretty close. It definitely follows it along on the, on the right.
Yeah. Because, all the, you know, the old occult like idea of, you know, running water, all these things happening. Yeah. So it's, when you all these UFO sightings are happening in this area where there's a giant river. All right. Yeah. Sounds about right.
Yes. So it's closer to the Hudson, the more south you go, which is where these things were mostly sighted.
Checks out.
And in fact, supposedly a lot of these stone chambers are built on top of water sources too. They're like, there's running water underneath. That's the thing that comes up a lot in UFO stories, in just high strangeness, poltergeist
ghosts
stuff.
Ghosts even.
Ghosts even. People, for their reasons, associate running water with weird stuff, with paranormal events and energy and all that sort of thing. Those things.
Yo, Frank, I have a question.
Yeah.
How does this Nick's theory of like, oh yeah, maybe it has to do with being near the water, how does that play in with your published research about extraterrestrials and their need for water?
So I'll say this. If you want more information on that, you can go to hollowmoon.info. Hollowmoon.info. It'll be linked in the show notes. It's a great resource. But yeah, so building off of that, this connection with UFOs and all different weird stuff, there are a lot of people who believe that perhaps these stone chambers are built on hotspots between dimensions. Perhaps these stone chambers were built by people who detected that these were spots where the barriers between the worlds were thinnest, were weak. Maybe this is where Native Americans did their vision quests in these very spiritual areas. Or maybe this is where some claimed Native American shamans would go to astrally project themselves.
As psychic vampires.
As I imagine. As vampires. Other people have claimed that these could be portals for extraterrestrials. There's no evidence whatsoever for that. I don't know why they think that, but it's a great thought that these stone chambers in the middle of the Hudson Valley, like one day you'll just like, you're like a zoop, like a gray alien will just walk out.
He's like it's Rick and Morty.
like stooping out. There's just a portal. That's why it's empty. It needs to be clear for the portal to form inside the stone chamber. New Agers have adopted many of these sorts of beliefs about these being thin places between dimensions, about portals to other worlds being here either to go or to receive. And that's why they perform lots of these rituals and stuff there and obsess over them. And a lot of the people who care about the preservation of these stone chambers are also kind of into that, but not everyone. Some people who want to preserve these just want to do it for the sake of preserving, you know, local history. But yeah, modern day Wiccans and such, they most often believe that it is the Celts that built them as shrines, and that potentially nowadays they are used by UFOs as entrance points or exit points to our world. One of the promoters of that theory was Dr. Philip Imbrogno, though, so there's that. He did go to MIT, so maybe you trust him.
I think I trust a whole coven of Wiccans before.
Yes, coven of Wiccans.
I think they're called a coven.
He purchased an MIT shirt.
He did purchase many MIT shirts, which is,
he is a memmy,
honestly. And that's kind of all the theories that people have reported. The other ones I've heard, which haven't had a lot of detail, are that they were either
built one of these, Frank. Yeah. Oh my goodness.
They were either built for, or at least used by, runaway slaves. during like, you know, part of the Underground Railroad. I don't think they would have been built for that, but maybe they were used for that. I mean, they are just random stone chambers in the middle of the woods. There's hundreds of them just in this one county.
I mean, I get the idea behind it. Like, it's a nice like stopping point to like rest, and
it would be cooler, you know, in the summer, you know?
Yeah. Maintain cover. But the problem I have with that is that's a lot of building to do very quickly.
It definitely is. Yeah, whether it's from farmers or, yeah.
Like, the Underground Railroad, correct me if I'm wrong, but it was only like over the span of a few years. Correct?
I don't remember my middle school history, which is not good.
Or was it like a few decades, maybe?
Well, the Lincoln, I think it was over decades. Surely it was over decades and decades leading up to emancipation. That'd be my guess. Anyone? I'll link in the description for the Harriet Tubman. Right? Isn't she something?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. But yeah, no, so I don't know about that. But other theories are that they were built by witches as their dens, just like Sarah's episode last week. Maybe they were built just like, let's see if I can remember her name. Something Tubbs. What was her name? Something Tubbs. Angeline Tubbs. Building a little hovel, a witch hovel in the woods. Maybe there's something like that. So these are way too expertly constructed to be like a single person moving stuff. You would not physically be able to move slabs like this with yourself. Even with a handful of people, you need to have some sort of technique, right? Now, the most interesting theory, I think, is I just saw the word Atlantis. That was as much detail as I could find. Atlantis. Maybe you guys could fill in.
Atlantis.
Can you think of any connection here with Atlantis?
Hudson Valley leads directly to Atlantis.
New York City is actually Atlantis. Think of all the things that happened there and what led to Atlantis's downfall.
Oh, no. That makes sense. Manhattan is definitely going to sink into the ocean one of these days.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
And Florida sank. Oh, and what do you know? California broke off. Oh, such a shame. They're their own countries now.
So, yeah, I don't know. I really don't know what. I believe it's the idea that there, you know, Atlantis was in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean. And when Atlantis had its devastating catastrophe, whatever it was, many people who escaped could have gone to North America. But I don't know why they would build stone chambers on the magnetic hotspots facing the equinoxes.
Iron and water.
Over iron and water in very particular, like these hundreds of stone chambers aren't equally scattered across like the Hudson Valley. It's like only in very particular region of Putnam County. It's very oddly arrayed. So yeah. And of course Bigfoot hovels, which I think is probably the most likely, most down to earth theory here.
Yeah.
It really explains the construction, it explains the lack of written report. Anyone that came across these probably be eaten. So, yeah.
We didn't find Bigfoot diaries.
Yeah, we gotta find Bigfoot diaries. Maybe that's what the scratches on the walls were. Bigfoot trying to throw us off. Putting Kairos on the walls. But those are all the theories. And the last thing I'll leave you with is that there's a Facebook page, which will be linked in the show notes, that has some interesting comments. It's just dozens of pictures of these stone chambers. It's really cool to see all different kinds and the different sizes and the different levels of just, you know, falling apart that they're in. And one cool comment I saw is that Mark Bliss said back in like 2016 or something, I had one under my kitchen in Lake Peekskill. There was a 4-foot door in the basement that led to it.
Just had
what does he mean by that? And this one by Terry Callahan. Now, this is ominous. I don't know what the tone of this was, but I'm going to read it like this. This was on a random picture. If only they knew how important these were.
Terry knows something.
What does Terry know? What Terry knows something. He knows something.
Or he knows nothing. And he's like, oh, if only we knew.
That's true. Yeah, I really don't. So there's a lot of debates online about what these are. And Yeah. Whether they were used by Native Americans or colonists, you know, that's not really up for debate. They were used by the people who found them. But who built them? Why did they build them? Why did they build them in the places they did? And why is there no evidence of tools and such? And why did they line up with all the different astronomical phenomena? We will probably never, ever know. There really haven't been detailed archaeological digs, excavations, and research into it. There's not a lot of interest from the scientific community in these stone chambers. There have been some, and there's one really good resource I'll link in the show notes by some like magazine, like a scientific journal or something, that kind of dismisses all the weird stuff and goes, nah, no way, it's impossible. But yeah, no one knows, and we'll never know. But I will visit some of these chambers. You guys should come with me. They're pretty straightforward hikes. Some of these are along the sides of roads. Some of these you have to actually hike into the woods. But they're all over the place, downstate. So hopefully we'll get to see them one day. But with that, I'll open it up to you guys. What are your takes? What are your takes on the different theories, I guess, is what I want to know.
Nick, do you want to start us off or you want me to start us off? Or should we both go like theory by theory?
Opinion? Let's go theory by theory. Let's start with number one. Boring.
Yep, boring. Who cares?
Number one being the colonial root cellars. Which,
like,
most
sure.
plausible theory, but
more than
also,
Bigfoot.
Like, more than Bigfoot. Frank.
Why?
Why colonies actually had
so many houses.
Bigfoot protector at each colony. Mm. It's not very well known.
Well,
yeah, the 13 original Bigfoot.
The 13 Bigfoots of Scooby-Doo.
But how does that that doesn't explain the Bigfoot Amish war. Or they're on opposite sides.
That was in the 80s, though.
That was in 1980s. You're right. That was much later.
That was 1981 in Pennsylvania.
Something must have gone very south. Oh, there are stone chambers in Pennsylvania as well, I should say.
Okay, never mind. We're fine.
Maybe the Amish knocked down some stone chambers, and that's what caused the fight.
But actually, yeah. Like, talking about it, it would be weird for them to build so... Like, why not build a very... Are they pretty scattered?
Yeah, they're in the middle of extremely rocky woodlands. Like, they're not near farmland. They're not built near where they would have been used, right? Like, why not just build this in your backyard on the edge of your property? Why not?
And so, even if they were root cellars, and, like, they were... Like, colonies were kind of like... Yeah, there was probably subsistence farming there, but a lot of it was helping each other out. So why wouldn't you have, like, one large... root cellar, like, for the colony, like a granary, kind of.
Well, that's interesting. I think, yeah, so...
Is this our family's root cellar, and we sell these things? Is that more of the idea? Or it safe for us to eat?
There's oral history that old families used these to store their stuff.
Okay, some so it was claims, family, not...
Yeah, there's family, no claims that, like... There's no written records that they built them, but they definitely did use them. A lot of these actually have wooden doors built into them that most likely were added, or you could say, you know, were added when it was constructed by the colonists, or were added later on. Like, people found these stone chambers and were like, well, I'm going to put a door on this. This is good. Mm-hmm. This is convenient. I found this stone chamber. It's going to stay cool during the summer. Let's put a door on this.
Yeah, I'm thinking that's most likely what it is. Like, I do think they're probably used, but like you said, they probably didn't build them because there's no rhyme or reason to build a wine cellar like that.
And now that, I think, is where the Native American theory comes in. They probably built them.
Yeah, I'm a believer in this theory. Personally,
yeah, I think because they're, I mean, all you and also like in the like the common trope of like Native American like burial sites, it's like now these are even different because they're not necessarily burial sites, but Native Americans had all their like they had very specific religions and beliefs, some animism probably, Yeah. So we know you'd have to probably talk more to like a Native American about it, but I definitely could see them. And like you said, they were around in the Americas thousands of years ago. They definitely could have built them.
Yeah, no, that's fair. What do you think, Aaron?
I would also like to point out that ancient people, Native Americans, you know, Egyptians, all these ancient cultures and civilizations, they were insanely smart. Like,
nah.
I think they were insanely smart compared to us nowadays.
Why?
I mean, you know how little resources they had to realize the things that they did realize? Like, oh, all of these are above iron. Like, they figured that out maybe with compasses. Like, that's pretty crazy. And to figure out how they align with the solstice without having an Apple Watch to tell them what day of the week it is. That's also pretty crazy. Like,
very good points.
You'd have to be pretty darn smart to know something like that. And I think there's a lot of examples of that in history. Like with the pyramids, like those were very intricately built and it was not an easy task. So, and obviously with these, no mortar makes it more difficult to build. So like, I think it was them, Native Americans.
Yeah. Do you think, what explanations do you think could be for the them being built on top of magnetic field oddities? Just by chance or some way? I mean, could there be ways? I don't know how you would sense that.
Like, I mean,
without modern, or not even modern technology, but like compasses, like.
There's also, I mean, this is stretching, but there is like the whole water diviner, idea. Native Americans being very spiritual may have done similar things to look for minerals and water. So
interesting.
They could have had used like the dowsing rods and things like
dowsing.
That.
Yeah.
So.
That's a cool idea. Like, yeah, maybe that they were able to be drawn to these particular points, and they were like, "Yep, this is where we're going to build these here and here and here." Do you think though that? Do you guys think these would have been like what were their purposes though? Let's say they were built by Native Americans. It's really not clear. What they were built for.
I would say like for like a ritual site, almost. So yeah, like,
what does that mean?
At a specific time of year, they would perform a ritual important to their religion, and hope that their connection to the cosmos was as strong as possible.
Man, imagine
like the
that.
The local medicine man using them. There being a lot of them, I don't have a good reason for that.
Yeah, hundreds just in Putnam County.
Like, I mean,
200, I think, roughly.
Maybe. Okay, wait, hear me out.
You can't just go to the doctors once a year. Just saying.
What?
Imagine you have some like Native American shamans that use it for like a healing ritual. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, maybe it lines up now, but on a different day, doesn't line up.
Oh, that I was kind of. That's how I was kind of thinking about it. But even take it one step more crazy, and it was just like if they were using it for like any kind of power to do anything, maybe they drained it all. So then they had to go to, make new ones.
Whoa, they had to like keep.
It was like a power source.
Like they drained that area. So they had to like.
Yeah.
When you mine in Minecraft and you're like, oh, that mine's all empty.
Yes.
That shaft's empty. I got to like start a new one.
You never know. Native Americans, they had a lot of spiritual things happening. They saw a lot of things. How?
Oh
my, oh my God. No, they were defensive buildings.
They were forts.
Hiding from giants.
Oh my God. Wait, that kind of... That makes sense because they're definitely too short for giants to fit in. So my Bigfoot theory doesn't really work because a modern day person would have to stoop a little bit in most of these. So that kind of makes sense. Protection from giants. You wouldn't need a lot of them. That's very fair.
As for theories 3 and 4, I don't think I don't really you don't believe them.
In Brogno?
No. Three, I'm throwing completely out the window. Four, maybe. But I think the Irish already have a cool history. I think they're just trying to steal some more stuff.
Yeah, I don't know what.
Like, and be like, we're really cool and our history is cool. I think.
But they got St. Patrick.
It's like pro-Ireland propaganda.
Yeah.
Yeah, it literally is pro-Ireland propaganda.
I slightly disagree with you, Nick.
Like the Fomorians, they you know, they have cool stuff.
That's true. Their ancient mythology is so cool. We should do an episode on that one day.
Nick, I slightly disagree with
for
you.
Theory four. We're in agreement on theory three, the Celtic Druid tribe.
Not exactly.
Oh, oh my God, oh.
So the Celts, I don't think they may have come to the Americas, but I don't think they came to upstate or downstate New York.
Why not? For timber. Right down the Hudson River. It's like you literally like just accidentally for timber, find it.
Well, that's the Carthaginians.
They sailed across. Oh, still.
The Northeast was in, it's woodland. It's
the Atlantic
remember
Ocean?
Middle school? Remember middle school geography? We're like no. Our biome, temperate rainforest, whatever. Not rainforest. That's not right. Temperate. Wait, am
deciduous.
I right?
Temperate rainforest.
Deciduous forest. Isn't it rainforest?
Yeah. But why would... what was the reason the Celts needed to come all this way?
I don't know, man. To set up...
There wasn't.
To, to build the stone to build the stone chambers.
Oh, of course.
That's why.
Yeah, no, I don't think it was the Celts. I don't think it was the Carthaginians.
But you think it was the Irish?
I think it was the Vikings.
Oh.
Vikings, you know, that's we know they came here. I'm not saying it was Vikings, because I believe the Native Americans more than the Vikings. But, you know, similar concept, iron, very important. Vikings, they like their weapons and their battling, you know?
Yeah.
So it would make sense that they would want to find somewhere rich in iron, which clearly this area was. And, you know, if they make these little maybe like mine shafts or something by the iron deposits, because you don't know the areas they cleared out, because you said they're partially underground.
Some of these are partially underground. Some of them are not. There are some of them are above ground. Sorry. Some of them are built into hills, and some of them are just partially underground.
Gotcha.
So, yeah.
But you never know, like, what was there before, like, in the space that these structures now occupy. Oh,
that's true.
Maybe there is more iron than what's there now. Like, and they found a huge iron deposit and made a mine around it. And then just sealed it off when they were done with it.
That's a very interesting take. Yeah, actually, I think taking that insane idea and being like, oh, maybe, well, you know. Yeah, I mean, the Vikings did come to Canada.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think Philip is has his tinfoil hat wrapped a little too tight.
Oh, it's so tight, man. It is so tight.
And I don't really think it was the Irish either.
Wow.
Like, they have no reason to be there.
Whoa. Wow. Irish people have no reason to be in New York? You sound like an 1800s anti-immigrant Protestant.
You
sound like a Protestant. Said
it's like you said, like, the Vikings got to Canada, and you were like, oh, well, they got there. But then when the guy did his in the 70s, he went from Ireland to Canada. It still didn't explain him getting from Canada to the Hudson Valley.
Well, maybe he just wanted to get to Canada, but he could have gone to
exploration.
No, but what I'm saying is, like, if the St. Brendan the Navigator thing is plausible, then the Viking one is also plausible, because we definitely know they got there.
I don't think the St. Brendan one's plausible.
That I will say the Celtic idea or the Viking idea, Vikings would be, I think it's around 1000 AD, give or take a few centuries, and that is roughly a little after the St. Brendan Navigator. That would be like 500, 700 AD. So roughly the same time period, I'll say. You know, it could take a few hundred years. Celtics, though, the Celts would be like 1000 BC.
Yeah, I don't know about the Celts.
No, I don't think it was them.
And now, as for UFOs.
I don't think it was Irish. Well, one more thing about the Irish. I don't, like, why would they come all the way here? There's... No need.
I can say. So
they were fighting giants over there. They weren't gonna come over here.
I was gonna say, so they decided to press their luck with sailing across an entire ocean.
Yes.
To meet more giants.
So
they're oh man.
You guys should ironically look up. I'll send you guys links to the whole legend of Saint Brendan the Navigator, because it's a really cool story, and he comes across monsters and fights sea monsters, and they fast for 40 days before the journey, and classic. God comes in, all that sort of stuff, right? The reason they would have done that is that Irish monks of that time period were, for whatever reason, super super I don't want to say conservative, because that sounds political, whatever, but conservative in the sense of very austere, strict to their faith. And their one peculiar thing was that they were kind of obsessed with founding new monasteries in faraway lands. That was an Irish monk thing. That was they just had a strong desire to dissipate into the world and set up new monasteries. So that's the purported reason that St. Brendan would have set out. Get to North America, though, and then to the Hudson Valley? Yeah, I mean.
Yeah. Also, though, wouldn't you have noticed some Irish, being stereotypical here, but wouldn't you notice some very Irish-looking features in more ancient people that have been passed down?
What are you trying to say?
I'm trying to say, if the Irish went there,
necklaces of green beads,
No, I'm saying freckles, red hair,
yeah,
pale skin versus the Native American, none of that.
So they're supposedly I'm just saying this out of the top of my head. There are legends of groups of Native Americans that were more pale skins that were claimed to have been intermingled with Europeans super early on. There's legends of that. So there's there are rumors and legends of that, I believe. But yeah, you would think that there would be not just that, but also relics and stuff found in the area, right? That you can easily pick up and be like, this piece of pottery is just Irish pottery from the year 700 AD. And you don't find that.
Yeah.
So yeah, that kind of supports what you're saying.
And then I guess theory 5, UFOs and portals.
Aaron, I'm not buying it.
That's fair.
I don't know. I like to give the ancient people more credit.
That's very fair.
Just aliens. I don't know. I just never fully bought into the ancient aliens theory.
Yeah, people do associate with bias against native people, because it's the natives of X place couldn't build this complicated thing. Really, you have to come up with aliens did it because humans couldn't do it, versus respecting saying Native Americans were capable of building interesting things. So that's very fair. And
normally, I love all the crazy ones, but at least for Native Americans and what I know, and what we learn in school, we don't really learn about the real ancient Native Americans. When we start talking more about Native American customs and things, it's around the colonial times or before.
Didn't really keep written records, So yeah, all we have are written records from Europeans.
Yeah, so it's in the medieval times in Europe, what was going on in the Midwest area of the United States? What was going on in the East Coast, the West Coast? We have no idea. So it's
isn't that cool? Isn't that so interesting, right? There are these stone structures, all of them, all over New England. Who knows how old they are? They're on different levels of disrepair. What did they look like
in their prime?
Let's say they were let's say they were in their prime. I don't know what's like 2000 BC, 1,000 years ago, 2,000 years ago. Let's say it's 1,000 years ago, right? What did they look like? Who was there? Were there hundreds of people gathered around these? Was it one off, the witch doctor would go and, But yeah, we have no idea. We have no records of that. Absolutely no records. I will
also note, at the bottom of your Notion, you have that there's hooded apparitions with red glowing eyes, small leprechaun-like creatures. Where did those show up?
Yeah, so I could not find... So you, in all the references that you'll see, people reference like each other's references, and they're kind of circular references. I couldn't find the source stories of those. If I can, I'll put them in the show notes before this goes live.
Oh, okay.
But people will just reference that people have seen shadow people.
Gotcha.
Following them through the woods. Encountered leprechauns. I believe leprechauns are another way of saying like Native American Pukwudgies, because they're kind of transferable, like little goblin creatures in these areas. Because the Hudson Valley, Putnam County, surrounding regions, and in New England, middle of the woods, these are all like, this overlaps with stuff like UFO encounters and little people encounters and shadow people encounters and all that. So it's a lot of overlapping, which I think, I don't know, maybe gives it more credence or less credence. I don't know. I guess it's totally in the ear of the listener. So I couldn't find the source stories for that. But could find, could catch.
Well, with that in mind, I do think that it was probably ancient natives built them, and colonial people just used what they found, is what I'm going with.
As much as I'd like to believe it was aliens.
Or Atlantis. Or Ratlantis.
As much as I'd love to believe that, I just don't think... I think it's just the ingenuity and intelligence of ancient people.
What a quote! What a quote to end on, Aaron. We're gonna put that somewhere, put it on the wall or something.
Put in the quote wall.
Put in the quote wall.
Hang it on your fridge.
I definitely can. Well, guys, those are great perspectives. Yeah, I think you've
made many different.
Yeah, many different perspectives here. I think your reasoning is solid. The facts of the matter are that in the end, hundreds of these chambers exist. We have no records, and all we can go off is our speculation, and I guess Occam's razor, right? Like whatever is the simplest, it's probably true. And I think Native American theory does fall into that. I think it makes sense. So I'm never gonna lose hope of seeing a huge Bigfoot stooping, getting out of one of these chambers one day when I'm driving on
Tahani. Or them being, or forts that the Native Americans built to fight off giants.
Or forts. Maybe I'll see some Wiccans, you know, lighting up candles and you know, half naked, doing weird stuff in the chambers.
Perhaps.
But, so if you ever find yourself in Putnam County, New York, look online. A lot of easy hikes you can do to see these in person. Some of these are public property. Some of these are private, so be aware of that. But if you ever come across these, let us know. Let us know how you feel and what you see and what you think. That's all for tonight. Check out the show notes and all references used via the link in the description. We hope you enjoyed the show. We'll see you next Wednesday at 9 p.m.
72, 65, 76, 70, 32, 65, 32, 77, 73, 76, 76, 73, 79, 78,